This Christmas, let's share the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Compassion International invites your church to join the Giving Tree Project, helping children in poverty overcome barriers and discover hope in Christ. With a Giving Tree kit, your congregation can provide life-changing resources like food, clean water, and sustainable income to families in need. Visit compassion.com/familygoals today to order your free church kit and make this Christmas a season of hope and transformation. That's compassion.com/familygoals. Be the difference this Christmas.
Welcome into Family Goals Podcast. I am David Pollack. I'm with Pastor Jay, and we're just talking about a life full of faithfulness, living a life worth emulation, and staying faithful to when you're really old, right? Like Pastor Jay.
Yeah, and so what keeps coming up in this podcast is David wanting to fire me and replace me with someone new.
So pay attention, stay tuned. We'll tell you who the replacement is. Picture me rolling, they hating.
We rolling. So I have an unpaid advertising for my hat here, Method Mortgage.
I feel like you've given out a bunch of unpaid advertising. I feel like you do that a lot.
Yeah, we need.
Why don't you start getting some paid ones instead of getting the unpaid ones?
Well, you're in charge of the.
Anybody who would like to sponsor the Family Goals Podcast, we are welcoming.
Just putting it out there to the world.
Yes,
huh?
Just send an email to PollackTheFamilyFoundation.com. Yeah,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So Craig Tindall, Method Mortgage.
We'll wear your gear.
He didn't give you a hat, though. He just gave me a hat. In the past, we've had people give both of us hats.
Yeah, they usually give me one.
And we've promoted, and people have ordered stuff that we've worn on the podcast. So he and his wife, they're big Auburn fans. They were in town recently
for the
Georgia-Auburn football game. And they're avid Family Goals listeners, and this is why I'm getting into this.
Okay.
They are missing Jolin being on the podcast. They miss the interaction with Jolin. They miss you making fun of Jolin.
Jolin doesn't miss it.
Jolin probably does not miss it, but they were suggesting us getting Jolin back on the show.
Well,
back to maybe a cameo or
takes two to tango. Jolin doesn't really want to be here anymore, so you know it's okay. It's all right.
I'm sure that the Family Goals world's kind of wondering about Jolin's dating life, maybe.
I doubt it. I doubt it. It's probably still non-existent, right?
There's a cute little girl I've been noticing him spending time with at the church.
All righty. For y'all that don't know, Jolin is Pastor Jay's son. He's 25, 26?
27.
27 now. Still looking for a woman, so we always hold out hope. We're holding out hope for him.
It's like my number one prayer request.
Yep, it's good.
So what are we diving into today? What do you have for us today?
Why do you ask me like I have anything to do with any of this prep? You've got 17 pages of notes front of you. So
this is actually notes from one of my recent sermons, and this is the story from Daniel chapter 6 in Daniel in the Lion's Den. Do you remember were you in church recently?
100%. I remember all the Daniels. They were really good.
So one of your better sermons.
One thing
that blew people away is that Daniel was around 85 years old when he was thrown to the lion's den. So we're actually at the end. Like most pictures you see of this is like Daniel as a young whippersnapper.
Young teenager.
But he was actually 85 years old. And so the message I really want to talk about and kind of get to is staying faithful to the end, walking with God for a lifetime and not falling away. But Daniel lived such a good life that his enemies were jealous of him, and they couldn't find one wrong thing. And I think I wanted to start off with that point is to strive to live a life above reproach, to live a life to where basically you're walking the talk. If you're claiming to be a Christian, you're living a life in such a way that no one's is pointing sin out. And, you know, of course, none of us is perfect.
Yeah.
We all fall short. But
obviously, I don't think anybody's saying that you have to be perfect. But I do think that, again, even when something bad happens, you address it. You hit it head on. Even when you make a mistake, mm-hmm. you hit it head on. Even when you get something happens that wasn't your fault that happens, you hit it head on. I think people will respect that, and people will see that, and people will see that you're different.
You say sometimes I can be a knucklehead.
Sometimes, yeah. Just be a knucklehead. It's all right. I mean, but you're not getting angry. Like, you, I bet, when was the last time you got angry?
Angry?
Like, really angry. Yeah.
So Jennifer brought this up the other day. She said that one of our old worship leaders way, 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 way back in the day, no one would even remember this guy, but she said she came home one day. She used to teach at Grayson Elementary.
Yep.
She came home from school one day, and I was, like, yelling at the phone at this guy. And she's like, Jonathan doesn't yell at anybody. So she's like, I knew something was up, and I can't even remember.
You don't even remember why?
I can't even remember why. I don't know. But this guy, he was like a pathological liar.
Oh.
And
you're putting this on him. It was all his fault.
He had upset with me about something, but he would say things like he dropped 58 points on BJ Elder in high school. You know,
BJ.
Yeah, that's what he said. Or he was on the Nike tour, or he was.
So do you know for sure he wasn't?
Well, I played golf with him.
What does golf have to do with basketball?
Oh, I don't know about the basketball. I'm talking about, but he was also on the Nike tour.
Oh, you
know,
golf
like the
tour.
Yeah, like the Corn Ferry. It used to be the.
Oh, so he's saying he was shot 58 on tour.
Yeah, like I went out and played with him. He was definitely not on the Nike tour.
Okay.
You know. So anyway, I bet he beat you though. I think I beat him, and that was way back when I.
That means you definitely
know.
That's
when I played like, you know, two or three times a year.
Now you play
kind of golf
every day that ends in Y.
I'm like two or three times a week
at least. Yeah.
Yeah. How's your golf game, by the way?
Solid. Getting better. Good enough to beat you.
You haven't beat me yet.
No, I have not. It's the only thing in this world you can beat me in. We've talked about that.
Oh man, no, we don't want to get into me listing out all the things that I can beat you in. One of the things I was thinking recently is clay shooting. Mm-mm. I think I could beat you in clay shooting. You don't even know how to shoot a gun.
I don't, but I'll beat you. We did two things for the Bengals that were really cool.
For the Bengals,
we did two team outings. The only two I did with my long, illustrious NFL career. First year, we took BP in Red Stadium. That was one of the coolest things we've ever done.
Did you put any over the fence?
I put eight over the fence, and I hit one in the triple upper deck. It was the coolest thing I've ever done, probably athletically. I hadn't hit a baseball since I was like in eighth grade, and I was just. And
I'm kind of jealous.
I went over to Griffey Jr. and I was like, "Hey, you want me to hit for you tonight?" Because that's back when he was with the Reds. He said no.
Oh, he was still there then.
Yeah, he was with the Reds.
Wow.
King Griffey Jr.
You're old.
Junior, not senior.
Well,
junior.
Yeah, but junior's so old
just
too.
Making sure you knew that.
Yeah.
You were around when senior was playing, so yeah, I just didn't want to get him confused.
I had his baseball card.
Yeah. And then the next year we shot skeets.
Okay.
So that was like the second or third time we won a gun, or I've ever shot a gun. But I did win the competition, overall competition. Yeah. Because all you do is aim in front and pull. It's not that hard. Like, you just aim in front of it and pull the trigger. It's like a video game.
Yeah, you make things sound much easier than they are.
Is it any harder than that? You aim in front of it and pull the trigger. Like, that's literally all you do.
It's not that simple. What percentage of clays do you think?
I think it was like 80-something percent. They were not hard. Like, this wasn't like, you know, coming right at you, or like, this was literally that just slung it across and you aimed in front and shot. Like, it was coming right to left. It was not hard.
Yeah, so we've been on. Have you ever been to a course? It's like a golf course at the different stations. They're coming from different directions.
Absolutely.
Like, some are like running like rabbits on the ground, and some are coming from the back, the front, the side. Some go twice at once.
Never seen that. And the one I'm talking about, literally anyway, just shot from right to left one at a time, and you hit it.
You probably could beat me. But anyway, what do you think it means to live a life above reproach?
A life worth emulating, a life that. You look at somebody and you go, man, that's, I love the way they handle themselves. I love the way they talk to people. Obviously Jesus would be the greatest example, but
yeah.
I would definitely look at more human examples, because we're not going to be like Jesus, but Daniel obviously would be a good start. But I think, you know, all the biblical stories you have about parts of people's lives, I think you could probably take a little bit of all of them, from David to Joseph. Like, I think you could take little parts and bits of it. Did they all mess up? Yeah, but I think they all rebounded too. Well, mostly rebounded, not all.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things that's true of all of those is they all did mess up, but they repented. They turned, the heroes of the faith. They confessed their sin. Like David, obviously.
Yeah,
he confessed his sin. Peter, you know, Peter denies Jesus, but he repents and he brings it back around. And a lot of things I've been saying in this series we're doing at church living a godly life in an ungodly world, thriving in Babylon. It's just God's called us to live differently. We should live completely. And I've been saying this over and over again because not everybody comes to church every Sunday. So I'm trying to catch people once a monthers. Yeah.
Sorry, Chad, taking strays on.
Yeah, Chad. Do you know Chad?
We'll see you in November, buddy.
All right. So the first point I made about Daniel is that he lived a life above reproach. They couldn't even find a fault in him, his enemy. So they had to create something. They had to make up this law that if anyone prayed to anyone other than King Darius, then they would be thrown in the lion's den. Of course, Daniel doesn't change what his normal plans. It says that he prayed three times a day and he went home, opens his windows and he prays. And so the second point that I made is to humble ourselves before God and others. And Daniel was a humble man. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. I think humility is attractive. Like, aren't you attracted to people who are humble?
I think more so now, the older I am. I don't think maybe not as much when I was younger, because I might have viewed it as weak, you know, and especially being an arrogant butthole like I was. And listen, I lived in a world where, like, the NFL is like the most, in college, it's like the most competitive of the competitive. So there's not a lot of meekness. There's not a lot of humility. There's a lot of, like, show me. And so I think it took me a while to figure that out and to figure out what quiet strength looked like. Mm. And I would say that I was a horrible leader in the beginning of my career, because if you didn't have the, you know, if you weren't loud and if you weren't energetic and you weren't, you know, prideful, I kind of looked at it like, what are you doing? You're not doing it right, you know? And so it took me a while to learn how to lead people like that as well. But
I would say someone like Mark Richt, Coach Rick, yeah, is a humble,
super
to me. I've only known him older in life.
Yeah,
so I don't know what he was like early on, but to me, he seems like a very humble man of good character.
Yeah, and it came from Bobby Bowden, who was a humble man. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, buddy, you know, Bobby used to just pop around and. So yeah, I think that's a great example. But like, I think as I've gotten older, you see it, and you see
who are pro athletes that are humble.
Scottie Scheffler comes to mind right away. Hmm. I mean, just,
and he's the greatest in the world.
I mean, the greatest in the world, and you hear him talking, you wouldn't know it. Yeah. I mean, that's something that definitely has always stuck out to me when I just people in sports. Who else? Who you got in sports? I mean, it's not a quality that finds a lot of people.
No one's jumping. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is a great pull.
I can think of more of the other side.
Yeah.
I can think of more like super confident, you know, maybe over the top confident. Steph Curry seems humble to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely he seems like he's pretty humble and self-aware and, you know, doesn't try to be the man. Like, he understands he makes mistakes.
Someone like Bjorn Borg seems humble, quiet.
Who's that?
One of the
tennis guy?
Yeah. You never heard of Bjorn Borg?
Yeah, but again, it's before I was born, he was competing. But that's a great
Roger Federer.
But that's a great sport. Now, if you go in that sport, you'll find a bunch, because it's a part of the sport.
It's the sportsmanship.
Nadal.
Good sport.
Nadal was humble as could be. Fed was like that. Mm-hmm. Djokovic, not so much. But yeah.
Yeah, McEnroe, not so much.
McEnroe, not so much. But no, I definitely think people.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there are, you know, some quiet, humble football players.
A lot harder to find, for sure.
Yeah, but maybe we don't know about them because they're not in the spotlight.
I mean, I could tell you one off the bat from. I had Reggie on my Bengals team. Reggie Kelly, unbelievable. I mean, humble servant stud. Like, he was an absolute stud but nobody knows who he is. But he played at Mississippi State and then played for the Bengals, played for, you know, 15 years in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He was definitely like that.
All right, the third point I made was choose to obey God and not man-made laws. And of course, Daniel, he's not going with this man-made law. He's still going to pray. He's still going to do what's God called him to do. And so we want to always obey God.
Yeah, which is easier said than done. And I think, but I do think this, to obey God, you need to know what he says. Like, you can't obey God if you don't know his word. Mm-hmm. If you're not in church, and you don't, you're not around people that are believers and you're not learning and growing, it's, you might have the right mindset to obey God, but you're not obeying God because you don't know what he says, if that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I think that's an important part of anything, is we got to understand, like, we got to start with his word, and then I think we can work our way into whatever part of our faith we want to work our way into. But if you don't, you don't really know what he's calling you to do or what he's calling you to go against and what he stands for. And then when you know what he stands for, I think it makes it easier.
I think that's one of the catch 22s in the church, because guys want to know the word, but they're embarrassed because they don't know the word. So they don't want to come to small group because they're worried that someone's going to call them out. Mm-hmm. But you have to go to small group in order to get in the word and have that account. You don't have to go to small group, but you have that accountability. So,
well, I think small group is usually the setting where you get more in depth and you get mm-hmm. to learn more. I mean,
you can ask your questions.
Ask questions that you, yeah. And if you're in the right small group, nobody's going to look at you like you're an idiot. I mean, right. They're just not. They're yeah. People that start small groups aren't starting it to show you how much they know. They're trying to get in your life and they're trying to teach you something mm-hmm. and trying to do life with you. Like, they're not, they don't have it all together. If they stand up there and they're telling you you need to do everything like they're doing, you're probably in the wrong small group. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think that's, small groups are so important, man. Friends that you can share real life struggles with are important. Like, mm-hmm. you got to find those areas and plug into them.
Yeah, fourth thing was genuine faith is tested by trials. And I gave the example of how do you know the difference between a real cash and counterfeit? You become an expert in real cash, and the counterfeit becomes pretty obvious. And I think genuine faith is tested by trials. And people who've been walking with God long enough, you're going to go through some trials in life. Your faith is going to be tested.
You're going to have physical scars in your life, and you're going to have those emotional scars. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have scars. And, yeah, I mean, I think those, again, we've talked about it a million times on this podcast, but, like, those are the things that God uses to refine you and teach mm-hmm. you, and Daniel goes through them to get refined, and everybody in the Bible went through them to get refined, because I think there's a level we can't reach unless we just struggle and we have to get on our knees and fight on our knees. Like mm-hmm. you can't swing anymore. I mean, you're getting beat up, you're getting destroyed. And the only way to fight is to let God fight for you. And then you learn the strength and the humility in those circumstances that you can take to the next battle. And you got those scars to remind you, you know? And mm-hmm. so I think that's, Everybody who's a believer that has a story, which we all have a redemptive story that is uniquely ours, and no one can take your story away. No one can. That's your story. That's your story of how God found you and saved you, which is really cool. So nobody can rebunk that. So if you don't feel like you can share your testimony, or you don't know enough to share, you do. Your story's enough. Mm-hmm. Like, your story of how you found God and your relationship with God is plenty enough to influence and inspire. But the scars are always a part of the story. The scars are a part of Jesus' story, a big part of Jesus' story.
And I think the older you get, the more difficult the trials. Now, I do know some young people who have been through some really difficult times. But even you look at someone like Nicholas, like him getting a concussion, or a football player who has an injury in high school. I mean, that's a trial. I mean, that's a difficult time. That's a setback. And are you going to keep the faith? And then you think about older people. Someone loses their job.
Yeah.
Someone gets fired.
Almost everybody's been fired.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably haven't been fired yet, have you?
I don't think I have been fired.
I'd be willing to fire you. I'd be the first. Be glad to.
That would
fire you.
That could push me out of the nest.
Pollock Family Goals Podcast. You're fired.
Pastor Jay, we're not going to need your services anymore at the Family Goals Podcast. Yeah,
we've got a parrot that can step in just fine. Thank you very much.
I'm bringing in Dr. Merritt. He's been playing golf with me on Fridays, and he's a little older, more mature than you are.
Yeah, so, a little more wisdom. But yeah, no, I think that's
You think about people going through cancer, mm-hmm. People losing a loved one. Of course, we've had people in the church lose their spouses. Mm-hmm. I've had people in our church lose kids, like. There's one lady who comes every Sunday. I see her every Sunday. I think about her every message, because her 16-year-old daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And you talk about walking into their house at midnight. Like, I was called, I was asleep, got out of the bed, drove over to their house, and they're all their family and teenagers. There were about 40 people in that house. Walking into that house, oof, and they had just, their daughter just lost her life in a car wreck. And what they've been through, and the message I gave.
I'm about to say, how did you do? What did you do? What did you say?
I can't remember the moment. I had my Bible with me,
and you're like, God speak, please.
We read some Bible verses and we prayed together. And I remember I left my Bible at her house, and I remember her bringing me my Bible. I still have that Bible. But at the funeral service, we had the service at church, and her name was Angel, the girl, and. So the message was, you can, when you go through something difficult, you either run to God or run from God. And that was the first time I used that. And I've used, oh, really? I use it a lot since then, but that's what I go back to. And they ran to God. I mean, a lot of people, when they go through a difficult time, they leave the church because the funeral service was at the church. And so when they come back to the church, it has
negative connotation,
negative memories, and they want to move on. But she had the exact opposite. For her, it was a positive
healing place,
And yeah, she comes every Sunday.
I think the hard part, the hard part about that is, the older you get, the more you're around death. You know what I'm saying? Like, the older you get, the more you're seeing people pass, and young people, you know, more people, you know more people as you get older, and you've lived more life. Yeah. And so your web spans, you know, wider and wider. And then you see the bad things that happen. And then when you get hit with one, you become sensitive to the others. Mm-hmm. Like, once you've felt it, and once you've got that true empathy, like, now when I hear about somebody losing a spouse or something, like, I want to get involved because of Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, before that, it didn't hit me like that. Like, it wasn't as much as I wanted to be involved. Now you're like, I know exactly what that person's going through. Mm-hmm. Like, I lost a friend. I know exactly how that goes. My wife lost one of her best friends. Like, so I think once you get that empathy with longer life, man, it makes it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that, and God uses your trials to be encouragement to other people going through the same thing. So Wayne Shell, Wayne, arguably one of the best basketball players in the history of Greystone Church, he had cancer.
Yep.
And now, anytime he ever hears of someone who has cancer, I mean, he reaches out to them, he ministers to them, he walks with them, because he knows what they've been through, what they're
going through. You are uniquely qualified to speak to that situation, which is cool. Yeah. And people want to hear from people that are uniquely qualified, that have been in your shoes. Like, that makes it... It makes it easier. Like, you felt the pain, you felt the ups, you felt the downs. Like, you've been fully in it. Like, that that's really, it's a gift. It's a blessing. I think it's a gift from God that you get to use your pain for someone else's strength and power, right? Like, you get to do that. And it's really cool.
And it's important to recognize that.
Yeah.
And so for people who are listening to the podcast right now, maybe you've been through something, maybe you didn't realize that God could use you to minister to other people who are going through this. And that's how a lot of ministries get started. One of my good buddies, his brother died in high school, drug related, car wreck, and then his mom ended up starting this ministry to reach out to kids who are like that. And so use it as a ministry. But I'm thinking about James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And God does test our faith. He doesn't tempt us, but he does test our faith. And for Daniel, he was 85 years old, and this was the final test of his life, you know, and he passed the test. The other thing, and you've mentioned this before because you relate to it, faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets.
Yep.
You know, Daniel, his whole life was a test of faith. And so by the time he got to the lion's den, he could handle it. But maybe Daniel wasn't ready for the lion's den when he was 15 years old. But his faith had gotten so much stronger through the years. And you think about your own life. your faith has grown. So now you're able to handle things now that maybe you couldn't have handled as a teenager or as a young adult, because your faith has gotten stronger.
And when I came to faith was important for me. Like, I did it as a senior in high school and I was on fire for it, which led me to Mark Rick, which led me to college and making good decisions. And
that changed the whole trajectory of your life, the direction of your life.
Yep. So those are definitely, yeah, I mean, God's always preparing us for something. He's always preparing us for the next battle, the next thing that we'll need. And I think that's why it's so important to read and be listening to podcasts and be studying, because I think true wisdom is when you don't have to go through it. Like, I don't have to knock my face up against this repeatedly and bang my head up against this wall when I realize, like, God might have given me another out if I'd be willing to take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times I think we do that and we choose that. And when we, and then as you experience it more and more, I think it's helpful. But I've definitely, I wish I could learn. And that's what I told Nick, that's what I told Nicholas when he texted me about his head. I wish I could learn from others' mistakes more, as opposed to having to. The good thing is, the longer you live, you're making all these mistakes, so now you get it, like, and you get to impart it to those that are younger, that are walking through things. But it'd be nice if I didn't have to.
Yeah, and we showed testimonies this last Sunday in church of older people in the church, and I don't know if they felt like, oh, are they?
We're the old people.
We're the old people.
What do you need to do this at? I need to have an AARP card.
They're in their 70s and 80s. And they've been through, you know, battling cancer, lost jobs, all kind of stuff happening, losing friends. I'll tell you what's really weird for me, and you probably haven't experienced this, but when you start seeing famous people or former professional athletes die who are your age, it's like Dikembe Mutombo recently passed away.
No, Mutombo.
Like, I think he was 58. I'm 55. Like, that's not much different.
Damn, Mutombo's older than you?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying on that. Like, or you know, another thing that knows you're old is the juniors. Like, the Walter Payton juniors. You know,
the kids are now
the kids,
playing.
Kids of the all the people that you saw. Matt Holliday, we had on the podcast, and you see his son playing. Like, you're like, oh, I remember what his dad played. Like, that makes you feel.
Or like Bronny James.
Yeah, LeBron James kid just got drafted.
So I want to close with this. I think this is important. Is in Hebrews chapter 11, we have the heroes of the faith. And of course, it lists Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and David and all of these people. But it also mentions the people who we don't know, the people who were persecuted for their faith, the people who were martyred for their faith, the people who lost their lives. And just because we're following Jesus doesn't mean life's going to go great for us. And it was says here at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, people were sawed in half. People were killed by the sword. People were stoned to death. People were whipped. People were put in prison. People, you know. And so the point that I was making was, we can choose to be faithful, but we can't control the results. Like, we can choose faith and obedience, but that doesn't mean our lives are going to be without trials and tribulations and hard times. And even Jesus said that the world's going to hate us, that we're going to be persecuted. So, and then I like what he said at the end of James. He said that their faith earned them a good reputation. Is our faith earning us a good reputation? And that would be my hope for you. When people think about David Pollack, eventually down the road, they're not going to think of David Pollack, the three-time All-American, University of Georgia. They're going to think about David Pollack, man of faith, man of character, good husband, good father, you know. Family Goals Podcast is going to end up being bigger than University of Georgia.
Especially once we fire you. It's going to take off.
Let's get Dr. Merritt in here. Yeah. Let's get somebody else.
I didn't know about the replacement. You even named a replacement. Like, you just Wally-pipped yourself. That's amazing. You want to go? I mean, do you want to leave? Is that what you're saying by throwing out Dr. Merritt like that? I mean,
no, but you've told me before that, you know, you were having to look to him
he's a great accountability partner. He does a great job. I mean, he's a good leader. Like, don't be jelly. I mean, I thought y'all, your ultimate goal is to develop people and grow. But no, I mean, that is a cool thought, though, to live a life worth emulating. A life that,
yeah,
beyond reproach, a life that just, you just look like, and that's my, like, we've all done that before. Like, what do you want people to say at your funeral and stuff? It's like, I just wanted to say I was an authentic, genuine person, mm-hmm. you know, and that's something that takes years to develop and a lot of trials, like you talked about, to go through. Like, you're going to have to go through a lot of those and you're going to have to fail, and that's okay. Like, you're all going to fail. You're not going to be at 20 the person you want to be when you're, you know, 20. Mm-hmm. Like, you should always be striving for that next level and pushing yourself and trying to grow. And if you don't make it a priority, you won't. Like, if I give you a month to clean your room, most people are going to clean their room like at the end of the month. If I give you 3 hours to clean your room, you're going to get it done in 3 hours. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, so don't put time limits on yourself, put expectations on yourself, like, challenge yourself daily with things that you're going to get accomplished and how you're going to grow and, you know, read and all those things, like, do your part, because you will continue to grow and you'll look up, you'll be like, dang, I'm further down the road than I was. And then,
yeah, I just have so much respect for people who are faithful to the end. Like, I think it's easy to start off faithful. It's like to start the race. But I love how the Apostle Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished the race. You know, and the older people in our church, they really are heroes, because they've kept the faith. They've walked with God their entire lives. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of pastors. I shouldn't say a lot. It seems like a lot, because that's what you see in the news. Is pastors who fall away and don't,
lately, there's
and
been
don't
several.
Stay faithful.
Yeah, lately there's been a bunch.
Yeah, but for every handful, there's thousands of faithful ones. But the faithful ones, you don't hear about that.
This pastor's done a great job. Pastored the church for 40 years and retired. You don't hear that.
Yeah.
You're going to hear about the bad ones.
You hear about the tough stories. Someone said something recently, and I can't remember the quote now, so...
Oh wow. That's what we're going to leave you with.
You know, I'm losing.
I'm going to leave you with a great quote. This quote impacted my life greatly. I don't remember what it was. That's just unknown, Pastor Jay. Like, it's a great way to finish here, homeboy. That's replaceable. The Tony Dungy interview and that right there are two reasons you have given me to replace you.
Yeah, I think I have an early onset of Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's. Old timers.